Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
It doesn't matter who you are. If you are a believer in Messiah, then God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. And why would he give to each believer? We know he gives many spiritual gifts. People have a variety of different callings, but we all have that ministry of reconciliation. You know why that is? Because there's so many broken relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between siblings and such. And what we need to realize from the scripture is very simple. God does not want broken relationships. He wants reconciliation. And we need to realize, as much as depends upon us, we need to be moving towards reconciliation. You know, it's so sad because relationships that have been built up over years, sometimes decades, and what happens? Some careless word, some thoughtless action, some misunderstanding, and what happens? In one moment, that relationship that has been built up for such a long period of time, it is destroyed. But realize something. With God, all things are possible. And that relationship can be restored. That is, there can be reconciliation. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 43. The book of Genesis and chapter 43. Now, in this account, we know that there has been a breach between Yosef and his brothers, and that has also caused tension between the sons of Yaakov and Yaakov himself, because he was hurt and wounded by what took place in regard to Yosef, believing that he was torn asunder by some wild animal. So we have seen evidence of Yaakov's anger, hurt, and hard feelings about Yosef as he interacts with his other sons. So make no mistake about it. In a very whole way, this household needs reconciliation. And what are we going to find? It is Yosef. And Yosef is that typology of the Messiah. It is going to be he that does the work of reconciliation. Remember something. Yosef is a recipient of God's revelation. That means, and we've seen numerous examples of this, everything, and I mean everything that Yosef is doing, what the scripture is recording to us, all of that he's doing based upon God's instruction, God's revelation. He's hearing and he's obeying. And that is for the reality of this situation to be uncovered and revealed. That these brothers need to know what their sin was. The father needs to know that he's been lied to. All of this has to come out into the light. And we're going to see an example of that today. So once again, look with me. The book of Genesis chapter 43, this reconciliation in some ways has already began with the brothers going down to Egypt the first time and now the second time because of the heaviness of the famine. Against what Yaakov wanted, he sent his sons back, this time with Benjamin, because Yosef demanded it. And now these brothers, all the brothers, they are standing on Egyptian soil. A very odd place for reconciliation to take place, but God, He moves in some very, very peculiar ways from our standpoint in order to accomplish His purposes and His plans. And make no mistake, His way is the best way. In fact, His way is the only way. Look with me to verse 16, Genesis 43 and verse 16. And Joseph saw with them Benjamin. Now, where we left off last week is these brothers with Shimon, or with Benjamin, coming back to Egypt. And now, Joseph, he stands and sees them. And what's emphasized is that with them is Benjamin. This is the brother of Joseph by the same mother. And this is what's so vital that we see. We need to realize that the emphasis of this text in verse 16 is that he saw with them Benjamin. They had to submit to Joseph's instructions. And that gives us a very important principle. If there's going to be reconciliation, then we have to submit to godly instruction. Not doing it the way that we want, not doing it on our terms, what we think is reasonable, what we think is rational. No, we need to listen and obey. And that's what these brothers do. This is a major step. They come back to Egypt with Benjamin with them. And Joseph, he sees with them Benjamin. And he says to the one over his house, bring the men home. And the intent is, bring them to my personal residence. Now, this would be unique. But nevertheless, he gives the order. And remember, he's over all matters in Egypt. His word is law. So he says to the man over his household, bring these men home. And more than that, notice what he says, ut voach tevach. Now, that word, tet veit chet, is a word for slaughter. It's where we get the Hebrew word for kitchen. And the point is, what he's saying is, slaughter meat. That is, slaughter an animal that we might eat meat tonight. And meat, biblically, is significant. What we find when we look at the scripture is some of the elements that's related to a festival. Now, of course, the festivals of the Lord, what we read about in Leviticus 23, none of these festivals have been given. But nevertheless, there's going to be a festival. And like all festivals, what we know is that it's to draw us closer to God, to reveal the principles of redemption. And make no mistake about it, there is a close relationship between redemption and reconciliation, that things might be restored back to God's original purpose and plan. So look now, he says in verse 16, slaughter the meat and prepare for with me. Now, when you look at the original text, there's an emphasis on with them, that is, Benjamin being with them, and now him saying, with me. And it's clear when we look at it, because they obeyed the instruction, and they brought Benjamin with them, now they're able to eat with him. So he gives the instructions, prepare everything. Because, notice what the text says, because with me, the men are going to eat at noon. Now, noon, what should enter into our minds? Light. And light is for the purpose of revealing, uncovering things. And this passage of scripture, it is going to uncover for us. In other words, light is going to be shed from this text onto us, so we understand some things about our inner condition, how we function, especially when we have unresolved sin in our life. And be very much aware of that fact. These brothers, they have not only a relationship that hasn't been resolved, but sin is the problem. They have unresolved sin. And that's why we need to deal with sin, not just putting it under the blood of Messiah. That's wonderful. That's for salvation. But also, remember what the scripture says in the new covenant. Confess your sins to one another. So having sin resolved in our life is just not having it forgiven by God. But there's a process as well that we need to go through. And this scripture is going to reveal some biblical truth into that regard. Look once more. He says, "For with me the men, they will eat at noon." Verse 17. The man did just as Joseph had said. And the man brought the men home to the home of Joseph. Now, notice the location. This is the second time that the word home is mentioned. Joseph's home. He's bringing them into his house. And this is all trying to convey to the reader about intimacy. Joseph, he wants intimacy with them. He wants to bring them home into his home. And he wants to provide for them. But unless there is reconciliation, this provision cannot be appreciated and received in the full measure that Joseph wants and God wants for each of us. Now look at verse 18. Joseph is demonstrating a desire for intimacy. But these men, they're afraid of that. Why do I say that? Verse 18. The men, they feared. They were afraid. For, because they were brought into the house of Joseph. Here's the third time. They were fearful to go in. For they said, as they were speaking, they had a reason. Because of this matter of the money that returned into their sacks at the beginning. Now, here's the problem. They are going to testify in this passage that they are kind of like a victim here. That they're just having bad luck. That this one who's over Egypt, just he has it kind of in for them. And they are not sensing what Joseph is up to. What God is wanting to bring about. That they have been invited into this home for a good reason. There is an invitation that they need to embrace. Did you hear that? There is an invitation that they need to embrace. And if you're not a believer, well, that invitation is of the gospel. To receive forgiveness, this free gift of being reconciled by God. It's not easy, but Messiah did all the work for us. No, the cross testifies of how difficult reconciliation is. What must be done for eternal reconciliation? But the good news is, Messiah has done that for all of humanity. And we only need to accept it by faith, receiving this gracious gift of forgiveness. But notice the response of the brothers. Instead of saying, well, we obeyed this man, and now he understands that we're not hostile, that we're sincere, everything that we said is true, and now, maybe because he spoke harshly to us, then he kind of wants to make it up and buy us dinner. And that's why we're being invited. No, that's not what they think. They are fearful. And they believe that it's in regard to this money that has been returned to them. Now, when we read this text, realize there is an emphasis on the money being returned. Let me say that another way. The money being restored to them. This idea of the money coming back foreshadows something. The money being returned, restored, reconciled back to them is foreshadowing what this is all about. a reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. So they're concerned about this money, and they say, it's because of this matter of the money having returned into our sacks at the beginning that we have been brought. That we have been brought, and it says, Ve'lit go'el aleinu, u hit nafel aleinu. Now, it's hard to translate that. It has to do with the idea of something rolling upon them. In this context, it is an accusation. One that they would say is false, but what they feel like is that they're falling into this situation and they have no control over it. That they are going to have an accusation leveled against them that they're not going to be able to defend. And it's based upon falsehood, and they're right. If there really was an accusation coming. Now, why are they thinking, well, there's going to be an accusation leveled against us? The reason is because inwardly, not consciously, but subconsciously, inwardly, in their soul, what do they feel? Guilty. But they do not say, you know what? This is an outcome of our unconfessed sin. They don't say that. No, the terminology here is a victim identity. They see themselves as simply a victim of circumstance, not that there's anything wrong. That's why they think this is falling upon them. And for a different reason. Notice the second part of verse 18. The second half says, and to take us to be slaves and our donkeys. Now, they're saying all of this is about one thing, to make us into slaves. Now, why do you think that's what came out of their mouth? The answer is simple. You know, they sold Yosef into slavery. Everything that was his was taken away. And now they're saying, you know what? We're having bad luck. There's going to be a false accusation made against us, and we're going to lose it all, and we're going to become slaves. They didn't say, we're going to be put to death, or we're going to be put to prison, or we're going to be beaten, or we're going to be rejected. No, they said, we are going to be made slaves. Why was that? Well, subconsciously, they understand the biblical principle. The measure that you measure with will be measured back to you. In the book of Obadiah, that is Obadiah, it says it this way. The sword that you kill with, it is going to be used against you. And this is what they're feeling inwardly. They knew that they sold Yosef, their brother, into slavery. That they made an accusation against him. That he was this prideful, arrogant one, having these dreams, wanting to exalt himself over them. That wasn't the case. It wasn't Yosef that was doing that. It was God doing that. And also, Yaakov saw that there was a call upon this boy, Yosef. And that's why he invested so much of his elderly time in Yosef. All of this was providential, but they didn't see it. And now what's happened to them, they say, oh, there's going to be a false accusation and we're going to be made into slaves. Verse 19. So what do? They try to make a preemptive strike. They do this. They approach the man which was over the house of Yosef, and they spoke to him, where? At the doorway of the home. Now, what we see is that they couldn't even bring themselves to go in because they felt what? Guilty. And this guiltiness made them feel vulnerable, threatened, and therefore they wanted to get what they thought was the accusation that was going to be leveled against them. What did they say? Look now to verse 20. They said, be Adoni, which means please, my Lord. It is a term of great respect. It is a word of honor. And they're trying to say, you know, we are honorable men. We respect you. And we want you to know something, that we came down at the beginning for one reason, to buy food. And it came about that when we came into the lodge, that lodging place, and we opened up our sacks, behold, the money to each man was in the mouth, the opening of his sack. So they're trying to say, listen, we came to buy money. That was our only purpose. And we bought that grain. And when we came back and we were on our way home, we stopped that first night. And what happened when we opened up our bag? That money, each man's money, was what? Restored. That money was given back. And this is to foreshadow, as I said, what God wants to teach the reader. That everything that's happening here speaks about a methodology of reconciliation. They say, behold, they saw significance in this. Each man's money was in the mouth of his bag. And each amount of the money was weighed according to the amount. Meaning, you know, it just wasn't that there was some money, but it was exactly the amount that each of the men had when they came. So it was perfectly, and this is what the text means when it says, Kaspenu be mishkalo. It was perfectly restored, every penny. And we have returned with it in our hands. So they're saying, listen, we're not dishonest people. We brought it back, and we want you to have it. It's not ours. We can't explain how it made its way back into our sacks. Verse 22. And other money we have brought down into our hand to buy bread, or to buy literally ochel, food. So they're saying, no, our agenda was to return the money and to, with our extra money, buy additional grain, buy food. We did not know who has put our money into the sacks. We don't know how this has happened. Verse 23. Now, who is speaking is this one over the house of Yosef. And notice what he says, verse 23. And he said, Shalom lechem. Now, shalom, peace, but it's also a term of warm greetings or warm sentiments to someone. It's saying, everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay for you. Do not be afraid. Why? Now, he's going to bring spirituality into this, right? He says, your God, the God of your fathers, he has given it to you as a treasure into your sacks. And notice, your God, the God of your father, he has given it to you. Now, why is that said in this way? To teach the reader that God is orchestrating this, not Yosef. Yosef is hearing from God, obeying God, doing what God's instructions are, but God is at work in this situation. That's what we should glean, and that's what the brothers should glean. God is at work in this whole issue. Second part of verse 23, and your money has come unto me. He says here, you know, I'm the one. You want to know how it got back? God was moving. Your money came under my command. And the implication is, I'm the one who saw to the fact that it was what? It was restored unto you. And then notice the last part of verse 23. Vayotze alehem et Shimon. So as they're standing there, fearful, confessing, you know, we had nothing to do with this money coming back, this reconciliation of the money, this restoration. And he says, you know, God's at work here, and I'm the one who put it back. I know the truth. I know that you didn't have anything to do with this. And then what does he do? He brings out Shimon. Now, what's the purpose of this? Well, to inform the reader. See, this is a type of reconciliation, being restored for a significant amount of time, probably several months. What happened? Shimon was in Egypt. All the other brothers with Benjamin, except for Yosef, obviously, went back to the land of Canaan. They were there with Yaakov. And now they return. And to show there's no hard feelings, there's nothing problematic here, but realize God is working. And notice this reconciliation. First the money and now Shimon. And they would have seen Shimon, that he was not mistreated, that he wasn't wounded, that he wasn't thin or abused in some way. And this was all to show the sincerity of Yosef, that he wanted to find out something. He wanted to confirm something. So they brought out, or he brought out Yosef, or Shimon, unto them. Verse 24. And the man brought the men into the house of Yosef. Over and over, this is told to us. And he gave to them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave hay unto their donkeys. Now, all of this is to show hospitality. It is to show kindness. It is to affirm to them they are being afforded the respect as a guest. Not someone who should be fearful, but someone who should be thankful. Someone who should realize that there is going to be something good happening. That there is going to be a celebration. That this is not just a normal meal, but it's a meal with a purpose. Now move, if you would, to verse 25. Here we find, and they prepared the mincha. Now, mincha, your Bible probably says gift. It's gift, but it's not the normal word gift, matana. This is word mincha, and this word is more akin to an offering. Now, why did they do that? It wasn't their idea. It was their father's idea to bring an offering to Yosef. Now, he didn't know it was Yosef, but to bring an offering. And this is showing something, that do not go before the Lord empty-handed. So they came bringing an offering in order to give to Yosef. Look furthermore, verse 25 again. And they prepared the mincha unto, they were doing so, unto the time that Yosef came. When? Hatzoraim, at noon. And once more, this word Hatzoraim, noontime, is to show that this is not just a narrative, meaning this. This account is not just to give us a history lesson, to hear a narrative about some event. But the fact that Hatzoraim is there, this word for noontime, relating to light, it's to show that this scripture has revelation significance. It's to teach the reader something. Look now to the second half of verse 25. For they heard that there they were going to eat bread. They knew that Yosef was coming, and the purpose was to share a meal. And a meal involved fellowship. And what we find here is that there are stages of reconciliation. And many people, they just want to move through them all rapidly and get, and everything's okay now. Doesn't work that way. It takes time. There's a process. There are stages that go through. So they're going to have their first encounter with what? Fellowship among one another. That healing process is beginning. Look on to verse 26. We find here, And Yosef, he came home, and they gave to him the mincha, the offering, which was in their hands at the home. And notice what happened. They just didn't give it. But vayishtachavu lo artsa. And they prostrated themselves before him. Now, notice something. An offering was given, and what happened? Well, it's almost like an image of worship. Bowing down, and this confirms, and we've already seen it one other time before. Remember the prophecy through the dream that the brothers would bow down to Yosef? Well, what have they done in the past? It's the same thing they're doing now. But here it has greater significance. It's out of an outcome of an offering. So they bow down to him, they prostrate themselves to the ground, and notice what happened. In verse 27, and he asked them regarding their welfare. Now, the word welfare is the word shalom. So he wanted to know about the welfare, the peace at their family. So he says to them, shalom lahem. And he said, is there peace with your elderly father who you have spoken of? Is he still alive? And that phrase, odenu chai. Ododenu chai, meaning is he still alive? And notice their response, verse 28. And they said, shalom of your servant. So they're saying, yes, your servant is well. He has peace. He has a good situation. He's doing well. But notice something else. It says, your servant, our father, is still alive. And what did they do the second time? They bowed their head and they prostrated themselves. And that's repeated. Why? To show the significance of this act. They just didn't do it casually. They did it when he showed interest in their father, interest in their family. And all of this is to confirm to us that God is deeply interested in reconciliation. And the outcome of proper reconciliation is worship, that we might worship God. And we should want to do that properly, having been forgiven. Why? Because worship brings about change in our life. Worship is where the Holy Spirit goes to work and does so much to bring us into a different reality, a status that is pleasing to God, a change that is in light of his purpose and plan. Look now to verse 29. Verse 29, it gets very significant. He lifted up his eyes, this would have been Yosef, and he saw Benjamin, his brother, the son of his mother. Now, he had not seen him, and understand, because they had the same mother, they all had the same father, but not all the same mother. And this Benjamin and Yosef, they were very, very close. And now what? There's reconciliation. And when this reconciliation takes place, notice what happens. He says, first of all, is this your small brother which you have spoken unto me? And the implication is he knows that it is. And he said, God shall be gracious, my son. Notice how the concept of grace is brought in. All of this is foreshadowing that God is going to move and give grace to not just Benjamin, but all the brothers in order that there might be reconciliation within this family. Why? So the purposes of God can be realized. And we need that same reconciliation, certainly first and foremost with God, but also with one another. So the purposes of God are not hindered in your life or in my life. Once more, he says, God, He will be gracious, my son. And after saying that, verse 30, Yosef hurriedly, because he was full of compassion. Now, this expression, nikmeru rachamav el achiv, this is, he was full of compassion for his brother. And this is, as I said, the same expression we see in the New Covenant when Messiah was moved by compassion and he responded. He did something, usually a healing or a blessing, something along those lines. So he was moved with compassion for his brother and he sought to cry. Now, these are tears of joy, but perhaps also tears of feeling how much of a waste has transpired because of that sin that was done against him. All those wasted years, all those years of separation. So we find he quickly, because he was moved with compassion for his brother and he wanted to cry, it says he went into the room and there he wept. Verse 31. After weeping, he washed his face, he came out, and he restrained himself. Now, what is that to tell us? He restrained himself because you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to reveal who he was. He wanted this reunion to take place now, but here again, everything, and I mean everything that Yosef is doing, he's doing it out of instruction, the instruction that he's received from God, his Father. There is significance in this. This is revelation for us, the reader. So he restrained himself, and he said, for them to be given food. Verse 32, and they gave him food by himself and to them by themselves. And the Egyptians, they ate with him by themselves. For it was not done by the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews bread. Because, to'eva hi le'mitzrayim, that they were an abomination to the Egyptians, who were the Hebrews. Why? Well, because their practices, their culture was different. And here's something that's kind of subliminal in the text. The Egyptians, they thought that the Hebrews were what? They thought that they were abomination, that it was despicable, their culture, what they did, how they lived out their lives. But in reality, it's the other way around. And this is to tell the reader that when we are not recipients of revelation, we are going to miss out on the truth of God. That which seems an abomination to us is really, really the right thing. And what we think is right is an abomination before God. So this foreshadows that the Egyptians, they need to change. Verse 33. And they set before him according to their age, it says. And literally, he set before himself the oldest according to his seniority and the youngest according to his youth. And the men were amazed that each man, according to his brother, meaning each one of them, he placed in the right order according to the age. And he lifted up a portion from before him unto them. And he multiplied the portion of Benjamin more than the portion of the rest of them 5 times. Well, they all had food, but it's interesting that Benjamin, he got 5 times. Now, 5, it is a number of lacking. And what it's saying here is something was still lacking in this meeting, this reconciliation. They were all together, but there was not truly this restoration. They did not know who he was. They did not acknowledge their sin. And they did not have the reconciliation that was going to come about, but it was beginning. There was that process, and the chapter ends up, look at the end of verse 34. Vayishtu vayishkeru imo. That is, they drank and they became intoxicated with him. And the word here just means just that. I mean, it's a term in this context of drinking and celebrating. Not thinking about themselves, but rather the joy that they had at that time. Now, just think for a moment. These men were celebrating. They were rejoicing with Yosef, but they did not know it was him. But there was still that coming together, that reconciliation before what's going to happen in the weeks to come, when there's going to be truly reconciliation between this family. Again, God wants us to realize that we have a ministry of reconciliation. And if this reconciliation did not come about, just think what it would cost. Just think the outcome of Israel not getting right as a family, together and before God. Reconciliation, it is vital. Do not neglect it, do not ignore it, and don't reject God's call to your ministry of reconciliation. Well, I'll close with that. Until our next lesson, Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel. Thank you.